Hello to anyone listening to this on the internet. My name is Damian Nilette. I am a first-year grad student at Western Carolina University. I am enrolled in WCU's Masters of Entrepreneurship program for 2011, and I am part of Cohort 9. With me today is Ray Hart, teacher, tutor, entrepreneur, and founder and president of Hart Learning, a growing tutor's assistance company based out of Florida. As part of a deliverable for my master's degree program, I will be interviewing Ray regarding entrepreneurial matters, as in what it means to him to be an entrepreneur, what it is that he's doing as an entrepreneur to get his company up and running, etc. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. Ray, thank you for taking the time to join me today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And let's go ahead and start off with some icebreakers here. So where are you joining me from for this interview?
My wonderful den in bright, sunny Orlando, Florida.
So the weather's nice there today?
It is gorgeous today. Fall in Florida is the time to be in Florida.
Now, have you always lived in Florida, Orlando, Florida?
No, I'm one of those that likes to hop around a little bit. So I've done the northern thing from Canada to Montana to the Mideast, North Carolina, and Florida.
Okay. I read a little bit of your bio. I understand that you have worked in education for most of your professional life.
Yes, that's true.
Can you tell me what got you into that field and how the journey has been so far?
I got into education really for personal reasons. I had lost two brothers, and when I lost the second brother, at the time I was actually sales and management, and just decided that I wanted to do something different with my life. I wanted something that made a little more difference, especially with young teens. And I went back to school as a 30-something year old and finished the education degree and jumped into teaching, and I've loved it. It's certainly a challenging profession, but it is also a very rewarding profession.
Right, and I can tell there's definitely some passion behind that, behind getting into that career field. That's good. And what sort of credentials have you obtained as an educator?
Obviously, you have to do the certification process that you go through. There are some other options in terms of national board certification that's available now. Unfortunately, the process to do that and try to run a business at the same time was a little bit too much, so I decided to opt out of that particular certification. But I've won many awards from college, the time that I went back into education, through my teaching career, three-time Teacher of the Year awards, Teacher of the Year awards with what we refer to as exceptional education students, those that need a little more help on the academic arena. So. Definitely been exciting.
Is there a level of education you prefer to teach?
I've taught at all levels now. I've gone into elementary schools with gifted students to help them further their education in terms of jumping some grades or maybe doing some higher level math. I've taught middle school for 4 years. I've taught high school for 7 years now. And I've taught college for a couple years. So, each one has its own strengths and weaknesses, I guess, is the right way to describe it. There's certainly room for improvement in all of them. The middle school is certainly challenging because of the age. There's a lot of parenting that goes on. It's as much parenting as it is teaching. High school, there's really, I think it comes down to the motivational aspect. You have a lot of students who sit in these very, very large schools who become a little disenfranchised themselves. They see the system and they realize it's not the best. They certainly can't change it. It's not up to them to do so. So for them, it becomes a motivation issue. And again, it's maybe a 60-40. Maybe you're teaching 60% of the time, but the other 40%, you're really trying to get these kids to turn on and see something that they really want so that they get through the education and do well. Now, of course, it matters the level you're working with. I've worked with honors level students. Typically, they tend to be a little more motivated. They know what they want to do, and they're off to the races with their education. Those that are in, quote, standard education, not the honors courses, those are the ones that need the motivation. But you know what's interesting? Those are also the kids that you really get to know. You spend time, you talk to them, you listen to them, and probably as much as the motivation, that's what they want. They want to know that somebody cares about them, and certainly when a teacher takes the time to do that, it makes a big, big difference in the classroom.
That's great. So how would you describe what an entrepreneur is to some middle schoolers?
Work. It's a four-letter word. It is work. It's exciting. It's scary. You just don't know. You have no idea what tomorrow is going to look like. You throw yourself into this thing 100%. Typically, in my situation, I didn't go out and try to raise capital. There are many, many, many tutoring companies out there right now with me just getting started. Well, just in the past few years anyway. The idea was just to kind of build from the ground up. And honestly, Damien, I didn't start out thinking this was going to be a company. I started out just part-time helping some students. And I had a few parents come to me. Their children did very, very well, earned tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships. And they kind of motivated me. They pushed me and said, Ray, you need to do this more. There are many children out there that need it. There are many parents that are looking for it. And that's when I kind of started to expand. I've never advertised. All of my business has come through word of mouth. And I can't take any more. I mean, I'm at the point that every company gets to where you start saying, okay, how do I expand? Because obviously there are further expenses. I'm looking at perhaps some retail space to lease now. And the overhead, of course, will cut into what I currently have in terms of revenue, hiring other people. So when you get to that point, for me, when I get to that point of that step, I guess, as I said, it's exciting, but it's can be scary. You don't know how it's going to turn out, but you believe in your heart it's a good thing, it's the right thing to do, and you go for it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, have you worked both sides of schooling, both teaching and administration?
I have, but briefly in administration. And the administration side was in the private sector, private schools. So smaller schools. I worked in administration for 2 years. It's a different side of things. It's management. And I've done the same thing, actually, with Sylvan Learning Centers. I was started out when I went back to school and worked part-time for them as a tutor. And after 3 or 4 months, they came to me and asked if I would like to be a center director. So I made the switch and drove a little further back and forth to Brandon each day. It's a great profession doing it on the private side. Different issues that you face, certainly more business oriented. The sales and the marketing are huge. The difference for me was I got into it because I wanted to teach. And at that point in my life, I wasn't looking to go back into sales and management. I wanted to teach. So I decided not to continue with that and just go into the classroom. But the administration side, it's a completely different world. I think it's one of the things that they need to look at. And this is a little bit aside, but I think that the education community needs to look at in terms of bringing teachers and administration back together. It surprises me the dichotomy there. It seems like sometimes there's two different focuses and where we're going. And I think that's part of the, you know, you hear all these bad reports in the media about schools. I think a part of it is that there needs to be more communication again and a refocused effort in terms of where everybody's going and that they're all on the same page.
I agree. I actually have the impression that teachers are the ones with the tougher job, and I see them as sort of the sculptor who has to find a way to bring out the beauty in the slab of rock, while administrators are the art gallery that makes sure it doesn't get broken while it's being moved and has to be in the right lighting and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that analogy carries over with entrepreneurs and managers, that entrepreneurs are the teachers and managers are the art gallery? Is there a difference between an entrepreneur and a manager to you?
I think that what happened from my perspective, and of course I can only speak for me here, but I think the management side, when you jump in as an entrepreneur and you see this thing that you want, I see the artistic analogy there, in that in your mind you picture this thing that you want to develop. So there's certainly the creative side from there. The management part is the part sometimes I think that takes away from the entrepreneurship that drives you. You love doing what you do, in my case working with children. But because you're a one-man show at first, you must also take on those management duties. And that they can be very time-consuming. And because they are, they take away from the thing that you were first pursuing.
Right.
So it's very time intensive to try to balance both of those. I know others who are starting out as well, and for many of them, they're still working at least a part-time job, if not a full-time job, while they're trying to get their business established and being able to make the move to be able to do that full-time. So the management side of it is tricky if the entrepreneur side is strictly because of passion. It really does take away from the things that you want to do rather than have to do.
Right. Understood. Back to your back to an educational question. Is there a subject that you wish you had taken more of in college that would help you or be of use today in your entrepreneurial endeavors?
Certainly, I think probably the first one I would say is marketing. And of course, going into education, I had no idea that one day I would be looking at a business. And having been in sales and management, people sometimes equate sales with marketing, and it's not, they overlap, but they're not the same thing. Most of my business has, as I said earlier, has been word of mouth. In fact, all of it's been word of mouth. I have never run an ad, never. When you start thinking of doing that and how you're going to expand, how you're going to get the word out to more people, that becomes that marketing effort. And there are so many questions you have up front. Certainly there's many avenues to do it. Do you pay for print advertising? Do you pay for radio advertising? Do you buy TV ads, which of course are very expensive, because you need to reach a large area of people. And that's been my biggest challenge. I've met with some others who are in the business community, and it seems like those are always my questions. How do I reach this bigger audience in the most feasible way, in the most cost-effective way? So in terms of any classes, I think it would have been wise for me, had I known I was going this way, to probably pick up marketing first. Certainly maybe just do some general business classes just to kind of get a feel of different ideas, the way people have made their businesses successful. I think it's always smart to, if you see something that works, why not use it? So I think that would have been helpful.
You're able to approach people and ask them for advice. Did you know them personally, or could you consider them role models or mentors?
Some of them I knew personally, and they're at the point, too, that I'm thinking of in particular. Their businesses are so established now. I mean, they've been at this for 20 years. And so for them to go back and think of how things were in the beginning, it's not so much practical sometimes as it is you just see the good feelings coming out, remembering those days in their life. SCORE has been an interesting organization that I've been able to meet two gentlemen and speak with them. They're retired businessmen, and they volunteer their time to answer questions for individuals that are looking to go into business for themselves. Phenomenal organization. I remember the first time that I went in, the first gentleman I met with, and he kind of heard the word tutoring. Now, this was years and years and years ago, and it was kind of like, well, young man, it's nice of you to come in and talk to me and that kind of thing. He didn't really take it seriously. And for some reason, he asked me about revenue the first year. I don't remember how that came out. And I gave him a figure, and his eyes just got really wide. And he's like, what? I don't think to him he saw it as a viable market. And this was early on, and things have grown since then. So at that point, we talked a little more. Our appointment was just about over, but I went back and visited him after that. And the insight that these men and women have is just priceless. And to be able to just go in and sit down and talk to them and ask your questions, great organization, great, great, great organization.
Okay. What would you say is the biggest challenge for your company right now? Is it the marketing? Is it expanding?
Expanding. When you go to the next level, there are just so many other things that you need to begin to think about. It's easy to kind of get into a system and things are going well. But of course, the purpose of any business is to try to maximize the profits at the same time of meeting a need. I'm not just, I hear a lot of people about profit, 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 but I think it has to go hand in hand. Certainly you want to maximize profit, you're in a business. But at the same time, it's meeting the need that's out there. And for me, it's identifying those two things. How can I do both in a better way? My biggest concern is if I expand, I'm not meeting the need like I have been. I will have to train people in how I approach certain things educationally and the way that I would want it to be taught, which has made me successful. If I have someone come in with their own ideas, I don't know how that teaching style is going to work necessarily. And so I don't want to trade off, you know, here I'm going to expand, but we water down the curriculum, or we don't teach the curriculum in the proper order, using the correct methods. So that's, and then of course, again, it is the marketing, you know, getting the word out at the same time. So that's where I am. That's the biggest challenge I face right now.
Okay. Well, you've kind of hinted at what you want to achieve with the company. Do you have an ultimate goal to help you with the expanding plans to make sure that you're doing it the right way? A vision?
Yes, certainly vision. Part of that vision is to stay alive long enough to make it happen. It's a lot. People, you know, you first jump in and you think about sales and meeting people and doing what you love. It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier with the management side. There is just so much that has to be done. I'll say this, anybody thinking of going into business, if you're working a 40-hour-a-week job, you're at least going to jump, you'll double that. There's just so much work that needs to be done. But, you know, the other side of that is you're doing what you want to do. You're answering to yourself. And that's a great feeling too. So vision-wise, I would like to see centers established. I am toying with the idea right now of doing a hybrid program where part of the instruction is given face-to-face and then part of the instructions is given via the internet using technology. And combining those two things is going to require a very detailed basically scope and sequence of the courses that we're teaching so that we know what we're to be doing when we're in face-to-face and what needs to be done online. But that's the vision I have. I'd like three. I'd certainly go beyond there, but I think three is my personally manageable level right now where I could see three centers running and work with managers. And you know, the other thing, Damien, that's really neat about this, and I hadn't thought about this in the beginning, but the opportunity to build a business and provide jobs to people, certainly in the economy we hear now, that's a big issue. I'd never really thought about it. And to think that you can play a part in that and a fair-paying job, you know, something that allows someone to make a decent living for themselves and give them opportunity to grow and have security and be able to do it in an area that they love. So from my perspective, I'm looking for people who have that passion, who love kids, who are trainable, who can learn, you know, my system, if you will, but at the same time with me offering a level of income and a secure position and hopefully a position that, you know, something they enjoy. It doesn't become a job. It just becomes something that they're able to do as an outreach of their passions and their heart. So that's another interesting aspect of it that I didn't see in the beginning, but it excites me. I kind of like the idea.
Well, is it difficult to share that excitement, that vision with others, and has it gotten easier with time?
It's not difficult. Most people want you to shut up. when you love what you do, you want to tell everybody, and you know, you have to learn to. Sometimes you have to learn to temper it. I certainly did, because they don't see it. It's not their passion. It's not their vision. So when you talk to them, many times they're going to see pitfalls. They'll see reasons why you can't do it. They'll ask questions that will make you think about why you can't do it. And you learn to, you know, accept those things. And some of them are valid and you have to think through them. But I think when you really want it, those things don't become roadblocks, permanent roadblocks, something that stops you from getting where you want to be. It just becomes a part of the puzzle where you say, okay, you know, that's valid, that's legitimate, so how do I work around that? You know, how do I complete my vision and just deal with the roadblocks that come along? And that's a mentality I think you have to have to keep going. So, no, not hard to share.
All right. Well, lastly, can you give the listeners your information so that they would be able to contact you if they'd like to do so?
Of course. My email, which is the best way to reach me, is Ray, it's R-A-Y, at heartlearning.com. That's H-A-R-T, learning.com. And anybody that would like to visit me there, or if they want to fire emails off, I'm in the process of actually changing the name of the company. We've come up with a new model, and we're getting ready to release that shortly. I don't want to give that out quite yet on the interview. The web page is finished. It's getting ready to be published. We have some print things coming out soon with the logo and that kind of thing. But certainly anybody that does email, I'll forward them to the correct place at that point in time.
So that one will still work, the email you gave.
Yes, I'll keep that. It's kind of funny. I've kept the same phone number for years from a different county. So everyone asks me, why do you have a different area code? But I still get calls. I get calls from families that I worked with their children 10 years ago, and they're referrals. So don't want to give that up.
Right. Well, Ray, I want to thank you again for your time and joining me for this interview. It has been most informative and inspiring, and I wish you the best in your entrepreneurial endeavors.
Well, Damien, I appreciate the time, and, obviously this is for you. I wish you the best in it. It sounds like an exciting program. I kind of envy you there, being able to sit and talk with others who have this dream of entrepreneurship and listen to those that have been there, the professors. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
All right, Damien. You take care.
You too. And to the listeners on the net, I hope that this has been insightful for you. And if you have any questions for me, please feel free to contact me on any of my social networking outlets.